Imagine you're driving along and you see a stop sign. What do you do? I think we'd all answer, you stop, right? Well, imagine you're driving in the middle of the night and there's no one around, no lights of any kind, and you reach a stop sign. Now what will you do? This is where our answers may be a little more varied. Some people would say, well, it's a stop sign, you stop. Others say, hey, no one's going to be hurt. What's the big deal? I'll just roll through it. So let's pick a different scenario. Imagine you're at work or you're at school and you make a huge mistake, serious mistake that you're going to get in trouble for. No one knows about it, though. Are you going to fess up or are you going to lie? It's an important question to think about because often today we have theories and ideas like, well, if nobody gets hurt, what's the big deal? I can do whatever I want then. Or we have ideas like, rules are meant to be broken. Or it's only illegal if you get caught. You know what I mean? This is the big challenge, though. Today's whole focus of the gospel is about laws. This guy comes up to Jesus and asks him, what is the greatest commandment? There was a debate amongst the Jewish scholars over this very question. If we have all these different commandments and some start to conflict with each other, which one is more important? For instance, we have laws such as, if the stone of your house is infected with leprosy, you have to remove it and cast it out of the city. I don't think that applies to most of us today, because I'm pretty certain our houses aren't made of brick, neither do they get infected with leprosy. The same token, you can't boil a kid in its mother's milk. What even does that mean? For the Jewish people, it meant that you couldn't eat meat and dairy together. What it's supposed to be is a form of sacrifice by the Canaanites. But nevertheless, these laws are strange, and they try to interpret them. So the big question is, in the fact that they are conflicting with each other, which is the greatest? This is where Jesus challenges the scholar and brings a whole different focus. He makes a point of what is the greatest commandment, loving God and loving neighbor. Now here's the strange part about his command. When it comes to U.S. laws and Jewish laws, they're very clear. They're prescriptive. This is what you shall or shall not do. When it comes to a stoplight, you stop. When it comes to changing lanes, you put on your blinker. There's all these different rules that go with society. In the same way, there's some that are very prescriptive, such as you shall not kill. They're not focused on love. None of the U.S. laws tells us what we should and should not love. They're not saying, well, you have to love this or love that or like this or like that. It's not how it works. But Jesus' laws are about love. Why is the law about love? What does it mean? So in the context, love has a couple different meanings. On one level, love is a commitment. We're choosing to commit ourselves to God, committing ourselves to our neighbor, not just a little bit, not like, hey, you did your job today, good job. Heart, mind, soul, strength. All of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. That is an incredible commitment. In the same way, to commit to our neighbor as though they are ourselves. That's huge. The second side of love is a sacrifice. To give of ourselves for the sake of God, give of ourselves for the sake of our neighbor. It's quite a commandment. It's a very serious commandment. Yet how do we live it out? What does it look like? So what would it look like if we decided to only love God? Only love God and not our neighbor. What would that look like? Jesus actually has a parable for this. He tells the parable of a Pharisee who comes into the temple so very excited, he walks into his place in the front and he starts this prayer to himself. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of humanity, adulterous, greedy, slanderous, and not like that tax collector. I give 10% of my money and I fast twice a day, I pray twice a day, look at how good I am. That is a wonderful example of what it looks like when we only think we love God alone. It's all about what we are. Look at how good I am. Look at what I have done. Look at what I do for God. Aren't I great? That's the challenge. Who's ignored? Everyone else. When we focus on solely love of God, which ends up not being love of God, we end up becoming very judgmental. We turn to our neighbor and judge them. Oh, that person who wasn't at Mass. Oh, that person who's not good enough to actually be productive in society. Oh, that person who can't do blah, blah, blah. You can put so many words to it as we become judgmental because we think we're righteous. See the challenge? The true love of God is a desire to follow Him, desire to know Him, desire to understand His laws, and to build a sense of God's presence in us, that compassion, that love for each other. The two can't be separated. You can't just have love of God without love of neighbor. It becomes love of self and using God as justification. What would it look like if we loved our neighbor but not God? We actually have lots of examples of this. It's anyone who goes to another place and cares for those people. Builds a well, builds a house, gives them food, gives them medical supplies, cares for them. It could be even in our community. People who reach out and give themselves for the sake of building up the people around us. They have a goal to make a world in which everyone has what they need. Same thing works with people who strive for justice. They want equality amongst all peoples, that people have the same rights. They have what they need to be productive people. They have a desire for the good of each person. Sounds like a good thing, right? But there's no God in it. So where does God factor into this? Here's the challenge. When it focuses solely on love of neighbor, the question is, what is truly good? What are we striving for? What are we working towards? We end up getting to a place of just pure tolerance. We just say we tolerate everyone as long as they're not becoming a problem, as long as they're doing something good, as long as it's not destructive to people, we just let it be. It'll be okay, right? Well, tolerance doesn't get us very far. It gets us to the place where we're just placid. Everyone kind of does their thing without any cohesion. There's no desire for something greater. There's no questing to make ourselves fully fulfilled as humans. There's no central goal which binds us all together. It's just a bunch of varied thoughts. By having love of God in the midst of love of our neighbor, what we're doing is we're striving for something greater, something beyond ourselves. Not just my ideas, not just what I think the world should be, not just my version of justice, but something greater. And this is what really brings our society together, helps us strive for something greater, and looks towards something better for all of us. That's why love of God is valuable and necessary for love of neighbor. It gives us a reason for loving our neighbor, not just a desire to fulfill myself. So here's our challenge. This great commandment is quite a sharp challenge. It makes us commit ourselves to God with our heart, mind, soul, and strength to desire him, to love him. Same with our neighbor, to commit to the good of our neighbor, not just allow them to be there, not just tolerate them, but desire their good. It's a sharp and harsh commitment. And yet there's one person who really does emphasize what I mean. St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was one who went to work with the poorest of the poor in India, people who really were the bottom rung of society, who were scorned by everyone, thought as worthless or useless. And she saw each person as Christ. She would take these people who needed everything from medical care to food and basic care and say, "This person is Christ to me." She would say, "When I bathe someone, they are Christ. I'm bathing Christ. When I feed them, I'm feeding Christ. When I clothe them, I'm clothing Christ." These two commandments come together in her. She sees her actions as part of her devotion to God. Love of neighbor, love of God, coming together. So I challenge you, reflect on your lives. How do you love God? How do you commit to him? How do you serve him? How do you love your neighbor? How do you commit to your neighbor? How do you serve him? May these commandments guide us that we may love more fully, so that people may know that we are Christians by our love.